I have a hard time making new friends. At one point about a year into this pandemic, I realized it had been a very long time since I'd met anyone new. And even for me, someone who feels anxious around new people, that absence of connecting with strangers was a real loss. I know many of you have experienced something similar, even before the virus broke loose. Here's Ray Charlton, one of our listeners from Oregon. He's 65 years old.
As I get older, it just seems like it gets harder and harder to make friends or even want to make friends. It gets to be a lot of work putting myself out there.
We'll hear from more people like Ray in just a moment. But first, psychologist and professor at the University of Maryland, Marissa G. Franco. She's working on a book about making friends and new connections as an adult. Marissa, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
These connections are so important. In fact, you know, I'm in awe of my children, who can pretty much go up to basically any kid at the playground and they just start playing. And in fact, my youngest daughter will call any child her age like her best friend.
Oh. You know,
like, it's amazing. But that isn't how I feel at all. What changes as we get older?
Yeah, so sociologists have kind of identified the ingredients that need to be in place for us to make friends organically. And they are continuous unplanned interaction and shared vulnerability. But as we become adults, we have less and less environments where those ingredients are at play. Friendship no longer happens organically. Like, you have to try. You have to put yourself out there. You have to be intentional. And that's actually one of the biggest myths that I think people have about friendship, is the idea that it should happen organically. Even though research has shown us that people that see friendship as something that happens based on luck are more lonely years later, and those who see it as something that happens based on effort are less lonely years later.
Do you think that the sense is that it happens organically just because that's the way it used to happen when we were younger?
That's it, because it used to happen that way, and we're just using our template from childhood in adulthood when it just no longer applies because our situation is so different.
We asked our listeners to share their experiences with making friends as an adult, and we got a lot of responses. So we're going to go through some of them. And each of the people you're about to hear will be in different stages of their lives. So let's start with Juliana Clark. She's 25 years old, and she lives in LA.
Sometimes I've been able to make a couple friends here and there. I'm really more interested in kind of creating like a sustainable community, especially since at least so many of the friendships that I've made in my life have kind of had these common experiences anchoring them.
So what's your advice for younger adults like Juliana, who may no longer have the built-in social structure of college or any kind of school?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when I think about some background for this that I think would be helpful to inform her point, is that this concept of the mirror exposure effect, which according to the psychology research is the idea that as we see people more regularly and they become more familiar to us, we like them more. This happens completely unconsciously. So we need to basically create and structure that continuous unplanned interaction in our lives. And we can do that by just having something that we meet regularly around. Let's say we say, hey, do you want to meet and rotate potlucks, rotate dinners? Researchers also find that when we develop groups, our friendships are more sustainable than they are with individuals, because there's multiple touch points now, right? Someone else in the group could reach out to all of us, and then we all keep in touch.
I hear that. I do. It makes sense. But some people will be listening to you, and it will scare the heck out of them to do something like that. You wrote something that I think could be really helpful for people who feel that way, and that is that we should just assume that people, even strangers that we're talking to or want to talk to, that they like us, that they actually do like us. How important is that?
Oh my gosh, it's so important. This one piece of advice that I've come across has just changed my life so much. We all have this tendency to think we're more likely to be rejected than we actually are. Huh. Making that your running dialogue, like, oh, it's really scary for me to ask my friend, but I'm going to assume that they might be interested in this. I'm going to assume that this might go well. I'm going to assume that they'd like to hang out just like I would. Is a really powerful way to sort of build up your confidence so that you can initiate. Also, more generally, just try your best to check your mean internal dialogue that we all have within us, and to consider that other people might like you more than you think they do.
I think that's so helpful. Thank you for that. We also heard from a lot of people in their 30s and their 40s who said that having kids or moving to a new city made it tough for them to form connections. Here's Kate Hickok. She's 42, moved to Maine from New York City with her husband in 2018, and she tells us that they still haven't met any friends.
We have two small children. One was a baby when we moved here, and one was born during the pandemic, so it's hard to make plans. I'm also a city girl. I often feel like an outsider when trying to engage with those in my new local Maine community who either grew up here and have established connections, or those who moved here because of their love of nature and the outdoors. I thought I could force friendship to happen by attending events or participating in local sports or activities. I've definitely been angry at my lack of friendship and at our new hometown.
So Kate told us she thought that she could force friendships by participating in local events. And on the one hand, you know, she's trying. She's putting herself out there like we were talking about, but it's not working. So where do you think she might have gone wrong?
Yeah, well, first of all, I just want to say, Kate, I'm sorry it's been so hard, and it's so hard for so many of us. And it just takes time to make friends, and it's hard to be in that period where you're new and you don't know people, and maybe there's a new culture in the place you're in that isn't necessarily what you're used to. So I definitely think that you're not necessarily doing things wrong, and that making friends is just inevitably hard. So I hope that you give yourself a lot of grace. For parents of small children, I don't know if there's a way that you can make friends with other parents of small children, but that often can make things easier because it's more acceptable to bring your small children and bring them all together. And sometimes they can entertain each other, maybe not the newborn. But that will be less of a barrier if you find someone else who's in a similar circumstance. The other thing that I would say is, so Kate, what I hear from her response is that she's already overcome the phenomenon of overt avoidance. Overt avoidance means I am just going to avoid people. I'm not going to get out of my house. But the other thing you have to overcome is covert avoidance. Covert avoidance means you show up at the event, but you're checked out mentally. Mm. You're on your phone. You're waiting for people to come to you. You're not introducing yourself to people. It's not just that you have to attend that event, but you have to overcome covert avoidance by engaging with people when you get there. And then taking the opportunity to make the ask, right? Because it's not just showing up. It's more than that. And so if you find someone that you do like and that you do feel like you connect to, just saying like, oh, I'd actually love to like hang out again. I really enjoyed talking to you. Would you mind exchanging contact information? That's really, really key to take it from, hey, I'm putting myself out there, to we're actually going to form a connection and begin to form a friendship.
Look, there's also a number of people who find themselves more and more isolated as they get older. David Troxell, we heard from. He's 64, never got married, never had children, and he says that he's been socially disconnected for the last 10 years or more.
I find that typically the people have all or most of the social connections that they can manage. I met somebody several years ago that I thought I might get to be friends with, and invited them out to have coffee with me. And over coffee, I was told that this person really had all the friends that they need.
You know, I feel for every person who called in for us. I especially feel for David, because I think that it can be hard for men, especially as they get older, to branch out and to be vulnerable enough to make connections with other people.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad you bring up that men piece. Like, as I've studied for this book, my world has been blown by how gender tends to determine our social worlds. Just with men, there's this phenomenon called homo hysteria, which is the fear of being perceived as gay, that I think really, really is destructive for men's friendships. Like, I've heard men tell me, I'm not even comfortable reaching out and saying, you know, let's meet up for a drink, because I feel like it'll come off like I'm coming on to him. And so there's just so many behaviors that are necessary for friendship, but homo hysteria has equated those behaviors to sexual interest, when absolutely not. Like, all of these things are central for platonic connections. And specifically for men, we know from the research that they tend to rely more on their romantic partners for social interaction, whereas women tend to keep a larger network in play. But I just wanted to point out that when you're lonely, people don't realize loneliness isn't just a feeling. It actually fundamentally alters how you see the world. If you are in a place of loneliness, you are, according to the research, more likely to assume people are going to reject you. You're just sort of hypervigilant for rejection and social threats. You're more likely to think that social interactions will be more negative and less enjoyable. It's why loneliness actually ends up being self-perpetuating, and the most effective interventions for loneliness have actually focused on changing people's thoughts, changing how they see the social world, more so than connecting them with people, because of this really difficult and grisly mindset that we tend to take on when we're more lonely. And so that's just some of the things that I would suggest for this caller, is like to try to be a little bit more optimistic. You had this one negative experience. It had sucked. Someone said they had too many friends, right? But that certainly doesn't mean that everybody has too many friends. And that certainly doesn't mean that there aren't people out there that are just waiting for you to connect with them. And so I just want to remind this caller that the world may be more open to them than they think they are, than they think it is, and that there may be a lot more people that want to be their friend that they might not see because of some of the real and difficult experiences that they've been through.
The good news is that what you've told us here today is that you can do it. You can make new friends. You got to put in the effort, but remember, people like you. They really do. Marissa G. Franco is a psychologist and friendship expert and a professor at the University of Maryland. Thank you so much for your time.
It was my pleasure.